So you've done your research, you've listened to podcasts, possibly this one. You've read about insulin resistance and understand that it's maybe part of your picture. You've read about the gut-immune connection and the inflammatory cascade and the thyroid metabolic axis. You can describe the mechanisms. You can explain to your GP which testing that you wanted, why it matters. But then maybe you've done nothing. And not because you don't want to. And not because you don't believe it. But because you've arrived at that moment that I think is the most common and most underestimated barrier in the whole of functional medicine. You've got the information, but you don't have the map. You don't know what to do first. You don't know whether to start with the diet or supplements or testing, the gut work, the blood sugar. What came first? Should you be working on inflammation? Or should you be addressing the hormonal piece? You've assembled all the components, but you just don't know the right order to work on them. And this is when people generally reach out. And it's often the most clinically satisfying part of your journey. Not because it's easy or dramatic, but because it becomes systematic. We get a really good plan, a map in place for you. In this episode, I want to take a look at what that might look like. Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner, autoimmune and thyroid specialist, author of Optimal You, and founder of the Good Health Clinic. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the metabolic picture, insulin resistance, its mechanisms, its downstream cascade across brain, hormones, immune system, and sleep. We've covered the autoimmune and thyroid connections, how the metabolic environment drives the immune dysregulation and thyroid dysfunction that I work with every day in clinic. And last week, we covered chronic inflammation, the unifying mechanism beneath all of it, its five primary sources, its systemic consequences, and what the evidence says about reducing it. That is a substantial amount of scientific content, and I'm aware that for some listeners, the more you understand about how complex and interconnected these systems are, the more overwhelming the idea of actually doing something about them becomes. And I hear that regularly. It's one of the most common things I encounter when someone first comes to clinic. And this is the individualized people part of the work we do. And it can't be replaced because everyone is individual. There is no information that you can pull off the internet that helps in understanding you as a person and how you differ from the next person. You may know a lot, you may understand the problem, but knowing where to begin and getting things right for you specifically is really difficult. So today I'm going to be as practical as I can. This is an example, but I want to walk you through what a functional medicine approach might look like. And again, this is not a prescription because individual clinical pictures vary. What I'm describing to you here is a template. What might happen if you go and work with a functional medicine practitioner? So let's get straight into it. Before any intervention, the first thing we do is an assessment. And I want to describe what a genuine functional medicine metabolic assessment might look like. Not as a list of tests, though tests are part of it, but as a clinical process, because the assessment is not just about gathering data. It's about understanding the specific picture of the specific individual in front of you. And that requires time, depth, and a framework broad enough to connect things that conventional medicine assesses in isolation. In functional medicine, the history is not just a symptom checklist. It's a timeline. When did the fatigue begin? What was happening in the 6 to 12 months before it started? Was there a period of sustained stress, a significant life event, a course of antibiotics, a change in diet, a pregnancy, a change in medication? When did the weight start to resist dietary effort? And what was the dietary pattern at the time? What lifestyle factors changed? When were the first thyroid symptoms? What preceded them? When did the gut change? The timeline is often the most revealing single element of the consultation. In most cases, when we map the symptom history against the life history, a pattern emerges that the patient has never been asked about. And that explains the clinical picture in a way that a list of current symptoms cannot. The body doesn't change for no reason. There is always a timeline. And that timeline is individual to you. But it also tells you where the disruption began. We look at the dietary and lifestyle history. Specific, not general. Not just do you eat well, do you exercise, but what do you eat at breakfast, lunch, and dinner on a typical day? What does your energy do in the hours after each meal? How many hours sleep? What time do you wake? Do you wake feeling refreshed? What does your energy pattern look like across the day? Are you a morning person or do you not function until midday? What's your alcohol pattern? What does your stress level feel like on a scale of 1 to 10? Has it been at that level for months or years? When did you last have a period of genuine rest and recovery? And the most important question, and the one that is often the hardest to answer, when did you last feel well? All of these questions generate the clinical picture that testing then contextualizes. They tell us which systems are most likely under load before a single test result even comes in. And they tell me where a patient's capacity for change currently sits. which is clinically essential because any intervention that is theoretically correct but practically unsustainable for where your body is at right now is worse than a less ambitious intervention that you as the patient can actually maintain. And then we're going to look at testing. And we've already talked about lots of those testing. But at that point, after that initial functional medicine assessment, we're going to look at testing. And the results from these panels are interpreted alongside the history and the clinical picture. And they give us something that a single system assessment cannot, a genuine map of that metabolic, inflammatory, immune gut picture, with the interactions between systems visible and the primary drivers identifiable. That map is the foundation of the clinical sequencing. And the sequencing is where functional medicine differs most from the conventional approach of looking at each system separately. If there's one insight from functional medicine clinical practice that I wish that every patient came in already holding, it's this. The order of intervention matters as much as the content of the intervention. So you can be doing all the right things and getting no or mediocre results because you're just doing them in the wrong sequence for you. Someone else might be doing them in the same sequence of you and it's working really well. Conversely, doing fewer things in the right sequence can consistently produce better results than doing more things in the wrong order. And the reason for this is systems biology. The metabolic, inflammatory, immune, gut, thyroid picture is not a collection of independent problems requiring independent solutions. It is one system, multiple interconnected subsystems, where each component affects the others. Addressing downstream consequences before the upstream drivers are stabilized is working against the system rather than with it. Healing the gut while the cortisol tap is still running is repairing a foundation that is being continuously undermined. Reducing inflammation with omega-3 while the dietary glycemic load is continuously reigniting that NF-kappa-B is adding water to one side of a bucket with a hole in it. So what might this sequencing look like? And remember, this is different for everybody. This is an example. Importantly, for each person, we need to stabilize the foundations first. So before we get into really targeted intervention from those test results, we need to look at the foundations, the blood sugar stability, the sleep, the acute dietary inflammatory load. And these are first because without them, nothing else holds. Which foundations need working on will be different for everybody. But generally, a few weeks of these foundations individualized to each person create a measurable impact. And every subsequent intervention afterwards works better. And sleep is quite often in these foundations for that exact reason. Without adequate slow wave sleep, nothing repairs well. So optimizing that sleep architecture is one of those things that really does come up for most people. We may then move to the adrenal HPA axis. Even if this is a thyroid patient, the thyroid might not be the first thing we come to. It could be that when we've done that clinical history, we found that stress was a real big driver for this person. And it's not that the HPA axis is more important than the gut or the immune system. It's not in isolation. But it might be that this cortisol dysregulation is the single most common saboteur for that individual for every flare-up and every time that their health gets worse. It may be that we then move to gut repair. After getting those foundations in place and the adrenals stabilized, maybe then the gut comes next for this individual. And quite often, adrenal work will need to come before gut work because the gut's capacity to repair is significantly enhanced by a stable cortisol environment. So that's something that we can consider. And this doesn't mean we have to wait until the adrenal picture is perfect before beginning gut work. It just means that we might need to get some foundations in place before expecting the gut to respond. Once we've got some of those foundations in place, we can start looking at more targeted work. And this generally comes from your test results. The targeted interventions, things like insulin-sensitizing nutrients, thyroid-specific support, immune-modulating compounds, anti-inflammatory botanicals, nutritional support, these all build on the foundations and the primary systems. And it's not that they're less important, it's just that their effectiveness is substantially amplified when the system they are supporting has a more functional foundation. So for example, berberine for insulin sensitivity works significantly better in a patient who is eating to stabilize blood sugar, sleeping well, and not running their HPA axis at full activation. So it might not be that berberine doesn't work for you. It might just be that you're taking berberine, but you haven't worked on your sleep. You haven't worked on your cortisol. Selenium for thyroid support, for example, lands in a different gut environment, one with better absorption capacity. So you might not feel better taking selenium if your gut's not being addressed. Sequencing is not rigid. In practice, this clinical assessment that we do at the beginning determines the priorities. There are patients for whom thyroid or immune piece requires immediate attention, regardless of where the foundations are at. But in general principle, foundations come first, followed by the more targeted interventions. What those foundations are and what those more targeted interventions are will differ for each person, and that clinical assessment allows us to pull that out of the picture. So it may be that we give you something that you've tried before, but we're now giving it you after having got some of those foundations in place, and this time it will work. And generally, as we start to work with you in clinic, what we see in the early weeks is the start of a dietary shift. So we start to see people restructuring the way that their existing diet is composed. And this might be with simple changes, it might be quite dramatic. It depends on how you were eating first. It might be that people just start adding in something really simple, like a 10 to 15 minute walk after lunch and dinner. But what we start to see is that dietary shift, and we start to see a metabolic shift. Also in those early weeks, we can start to see sleep optimization. So actually getting some improvements on sleep can happen quite quickly. Quite simple lifestyle changes like suppressing blue light, getting outside early in the morning, having a consistent sleep and wake time. Some of these things make a really big difference. Sometimes it might be simply adding in something like a magnesium glycinate at bedtime. And this crosses the blood-brain barrier, activates the GABA receptors. So it has a direct sleep-promoting and HPA calming effect. So early weeks, we can start to see sleep optimizing. Things like nutrient foundations as well, we can see these improve quickly as well. Things like elevating your vitamin D levels. This can be done relatively quickly. Optimizing your omega-3 fatty acids. Again, we can do this relatively quickly, often with supplemental support, but also through diet. Then we start to see, as we move past those first weeks and into the months, we start to see the more in-depth improvements. We start to see energy stabilizing. Maybe the energy crash in the afternoon just isn't quite as bad as it was, or maybe it's coming a little bit later now, or maybe it's not every single day. Morning energy might just be a little bit improved. You might be waking with more cognitive clarity, less physical heaviness. And we can start to see gut improvements. So typically that 4R sort of framework that we work on, we can start to see improvements in the first month or two. Likewise, in those first couple of months, that targeted metabolic support can really be seen. We can use really targeted supplementation to really help bring these things down fast. Things like chromiums, myo-inositols, and it depends on the type of insulin work that you need, the type of metabolic support that you need. But there's lots of these compounds that we can use to help, and we see these results start to come in. Again, with that thyroid support, we can start to see patients with Hashimoto's or thyroid dysfunction from the first month or two really starting to notice a difference just by working on balancing that nutrient load, helping to calm that immune activity, optimizing the vitamin D. Some of these simple things can really help to start working on thyroid. And then as we start to move into those later months of working together, sort of months 3 to 6, that's when we really start to see that real shift in the patient's relationship with the protocols. So now things have started to become habitual. They're doing some of these things daily. They've become their own lifestyle. They're not having to think about them anymore. And that means that we can then start working on interventions that require maybe a bit more willpower, and we can start getting that more targeted therapeutic impact. And this is when we really start to see big movement. The really important thing, though, is the work doesn't end when you stop working with us. So generally, we work with people on a 4 or 6 month program, and the work doesn't end after that. We give you the tools to go away and continue working on your health. A lot of the work that we do is lifestyle shifts. It's things that will become part of your normal routine. The part that significantly reduces is supplement load. So we tend to use the supplementation more earlier on and leave you with the foundational things that you need. But other than that, the dietary changes, the lifestyle changes, they all become just part of your new lifestyle. Understanding the mechanisms is really important, and that's the sort of information that we can give you in episodes like this. It's the sort of information that you can get off the internet. What you can't get from that information is the right sequence, the clinical logic of where to start, what to do next, what to expect, and when. And that's where working with a practitioner gives you that map. It leaves you informed, and it leaves you with a true path forwards. Not just for the 4 to 6 months that you work with the practitioner, but for an ongoing lifestyle change that really shifts how you live your life and how you feel. If you want to get a full 12-pillar framework, you can jump into my book, Optimal You. It really is the foundation for everything that we do in clinic. You can also take our free health assessment that gives you a score for each of the 12 pillars. So you can look at where you might need to do more work, which pillars you need to delve into first. You can read the book front to back, or you can delve into specific pillars. And then we have the 7-day reset. This is really a practical entry point. It's a structured 7-day protocol that is really going to help you to get moving in that first week. At £7.99, it's a first look at functional medicine. All the links are in the show notes below. And don't forget, the Good Health Studio is coming soon. And when it arrives, it's going to be a self-led version of the clinical frameworks that we work on in clinic with all our one-to-one patients. If you want to be among the first to know when it launches, the best place is to be on my newsletter list, which we will link in the show notes below, or on the waitlist for the studio. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I hope it's given you an insight into what actually working in functional medicine on your health might look like for you. You've been listening to the Good Health Podcast. I'm Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner, autoimmune and thyroid specialist, and author of Optimal You. You can find me at goodhealth.uk, that's goodehealth.uk, on Instagram at goodhealthclinic, goodehealthclinic, and wherever you get your podcasts. All the resources are linked in the show notes below. I'll see you next week.